Norwalk Public Schools getting a $23,000 grant in order to help put its artificial intelligence policies into practice. The funding will reportedly support teacher training, parent education, and efforts to protect student data privacy. And apparently, I was reading that Norwalk is one of just 10 school systems nationwide selected for this program, which also addresses AI literacy and academic integrity. So you know I wanted to lean in on this one. Joining us now to talk about it is Ralph Valenzisi, who is the Assistant Superintendent of Digital Learning and Innovation for Norwalk. Hey, Ralph, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Melissa. Good morning.
I am really excited to talk about this. First of all, I'm going to start with how in the world did Norwalk end up on this radar, being one of only 10 school systems in the country selected to do this?
Yeah, well, we actually started this process, you know, when ChatGPT kind of hit the airwaves back in November of 2022. We were addressing this really that first week. You know, I started talking to teachers about it, having some experiences with teachers already learning about it. Within 2 weeks, we were already talking to our board. And so this has been an ongoing process. We've been involved with a number of like national partners that we've worked with. Over the last couple of years, Digital Promise, TNTP, and now the EdSafe Alliance, which is an alliance to be able to kind of help people keep kids safe online, but also looking at things like AI and how do we actually implement it with purpose. So those are, like I said, this has been an ongoing process, and it was just one of the grants that we've applied for to be able to, you know, help support that without using our local funds.
So tell us exactly what this program is going to mean. Like, what does this mean for Norwalk and how does it get implemented?
Yeah. So this is this program itself will actually help to support one of the prongs of what we're looking at. So we're trying to make sure that we actually look, first of all, to keep kids safe online. And then secondly, to make sure that we actually use technology with a purpose. We know that there's a lot of issues with screen time, with you know, kids spending way, way too much time in that digital world. And we want to make sure that at least as a school system and we help our community know exactly how to use this purposefully so that it augments kids' lives, not creates a detriment for them. So this specific piece of it is really focused a lot around procurement. So we want to start from the time that we actually decide to buy software. What does it look like and why are we buying it? And so, you know, it's from a fiscal standpoint of making sure that we're actually spending our money efficiently and looking at it for, you know, looking at specifically student outcomes. This grant will help us to be able to learn how to actually write contracts with our vendors to be able to say, if we know that there's certain student outcomes, we want to be able to address those and potentially make sure that we're held accountable as a district, they're held accountable, and if it doesn't meet those needs, then possibly the contract's not paid out either. So it's a little bit of a different way of actually looking at things to make sure that, you know, we're actually putting our efforts towards saying it's like it's, you know, we're going to hold the vendor somewhat accountable to be able to work with us to make sure that it's implemented. But if we don't know what we want to do, then we're really not going to be in a place to be able to do that with our kids. And, you know, we want to make sure that that's the question that leads everything. When you start actually putting money behind it, like our contracts, then I think the conversation changes. And mm-hmm. So that's what we're really trying to do with specifically with this portion of the grant. We're also doing a lot with parent engagement mm-hmm. around this to make sure that they understand that. So a little bit of the funding will be used to do things like, just recently I met the other day with one of our elementary schools, and we're going to do a book talk with some kindergarten parents coming in around a new book that was just released called Human Raised that talks a lot about, you know, developmentally, when would you want to really introduce AI and how we want to make sure that we kind of limit those screen times for younger kids and how do we kind of build this in. So there's a lot of that going on as well, too. And we've been doing a lot of professional development with our teachers, administrators, and boards. So we do use other funding sources and other means to make that happen as well.
And again, we're talking to Ralph Valenzisi, who is the Assistant Superintendent of Digital Learning and Innovation for the Norwalk Public Schools. And Norwalk's just got this $23,000 grant to help with some artificial intelligence policies and put it into practice. As you mentioned, Ralph, the funding is going to support a lot of different things. I want to talk about the parent engagement really quick, because that to me is the biggest deal. And here's why. Yes, obviously having the confidence of parents being able to work with school systems. What are you comfortable with? How do you feel about AI? All of that. I'm wondering, though, and this is not a criticism. I truly am curious about it. Are we also, when we talk about parent education, are we also talking about parents or adults being good digital citizens, like them also understanding the impact of AI? I don't know if that's part of this education. You know, I understand, obviously, you know, what do you want your kid to do? Screen time, understanding what your kid could be doing in classroom instruction, especially if tech is involved. But is there any part of the education that also just talks about the adults in the household having good digital literacy? And I have a reason for asking that.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I think we're going to be talking more about it from an awareness standpoint, but you make a good point, Melissa, because, I mean, it's like, I think it's, you know, as we start growing with this, and this is new to us. I mean, I probably should preface, but, you know, I mentioned that we've been doing this for a number of years, and I've been really proud about the work that we've done as Norwalk to touch all of our stakeholders, our administrators, our board, our teachers, doing work with our students. And last year, we just started doing a lot more work with our parents. I told the board at our last board meeting last year, if I could have done this differently, we would have started with the parents. And so that's kind of where I'm trying to lead this year. So the idea would be that we want to kind of get a better understanding of where the parents are at with this. So on November 10th, our board meeting will actually be a community forum focused on AI and screen time, so that we can get more feedback from the parents with, you know, how to be able to kind of approach this. What are their concerns? And from there, we'll be able to develop more parent engagement activities for parents to be involved in. And like I said, it has been really right now focused around the students, but the idea of making sure that we kind of develop ways of actually helping the parents is definitely not a bad idea. And the only way we're going to figure out exactly how to do this is if we have more conversations on what's needed.
That's the reason I ask that, Ralph, is because I just had a situation, and I'm going to talk about it later on the show, but there was a situation where I had a listener, for good reason, very concerned about a video talking about, and to preface, it was totally fake. The whole thing was AI. But the video was on YouTube. It was trending online, and it was talking about how there were now going to be, and let me, again, I could already see somebody dialing right now and being like, what? This is news? It's not news. This is fake. This is totally fake what I'm talking about. But there was a video that was talking about speed and LPR cameras being used on I-95. That they were going to start putting these cameras on I-95 and that they were effective overnight and nobody saw it coming and all this. I send it to the DOT. I said, I'm pretty sure this is AI, but I just need to know for sure because that's what I have to do. Now being a journalist is harder than ever before. I have to check if things are real or not. And the DOT, you know, again, and we have a good relationship, kind of laughed and they were like, that's absolutely not true. It's clearly AI. I don't even know who that woman is. Like, she doesn't work in our jurisdiction at all. I've never seen her before. So my point of saying it is, and it's, I don't think it's dumb. I think it's much like scams and how scams can absolutely impact everybody. It's not just grandma and grandpa anymore. They can impact everybody. I don't think adults on average even recognize yet what is AI or not. I think we're getting better since the emergence of AI, but we're not there yet. And so it's hard for us to dictate that to our kids if we don't even get it.
Yeah, and it's hard to notice. It's hard even like now as AI is getting better. It's even harder to be able to discern that. So, you know, we do a lot of training with our kids around media literacy, and we're starting to incorporate what's called AI literacy, some small lessons around how do you recognize those types of things. But I do know that it's definitely something that you know, as adults. On our November PD day, one of the things that all of our teachers will be doing is a quick training around phishing, you know, phishing scams and stuff. So we do some of that with our teachers. As you're mentioning this, though, and one of the reasons why I kind of love these conversations, and I'm looking forward to the town hall that we're going to have, is it brings along ideas, on how do we do this. So then how do we get community, you know, even if the school system can't do it for all of our adults, how do we get other community partners to be able to help us develop training for this? Years ago when I started EdTech, we used to do, you know, things like what we'd call parent universities. Mm-hmm. And it was when you started, you know, Word or Excel would come out. I guess I'm dating myself now quite a bit. But we would offer training to teachers. And then a lot of times there'd be classes, whether it was here or when I was in New Haven as an administrator too, there would be classes that we'd offer them for parents as almost like a parent university saying, it's like, here's how to use Word to be able to write a resume. So mm-hmm. we actually tie it to something that was important for them to be able to do in time, almost like, you know, kind of an adult ed class. I think that there's definitely opportunities for that. Right now, I think we're all just trying to figure out what this landscape looks like. So the focus really has been on our kids mm-hmm. at the moment.
If I-95 is part of your life, if you drive it daily, weekly, or even occasionally, what is about to change on that corridor starting tomorrow is something you need to understand completely.
I just had to play a real quick snippet of this. And actually, as we're talking about AI and how it can be better incorporated and understood at a school level for our kids, we're talking right now to Ralph Valenzisi, who is the Assistant Superintendent of Digital Learning and Innovation for Norwalk Public Schools, which Norwalk just got a lot of grant money to help put its artificial intelligence policies into practice. And we're talking to Ralph about it. I wanted to land that plane, Ralph, because it's interesting. As I was watching back this video, which, again, is completely false. It's all fake. It's not real. I've confirmed it with the DOT and the state. There's actually, and this is part of it, I'm wondering if this is part of your, you know, the education and training as well. There are actually marks on the video where it says AI. Like it has, it'll tell you that it is AI generated. And to me, I think to myself, that immediately makes me go, I don't even need to confirm it. It says it's AI. So I just wanted to land that plane for you. So I didn't just kind of leave you hanging with that, but that was, you know, again, that was an adult who, you know, is educated, certainly, but AI is still something that is so new and we're not familiar with it. And so, you know, obviously, if we, the adults, aren't, obviously the kids aren't either. So the other part of this I wanted to talk about was supporting teacher training. And I'd love to kind of understand that better, because one of the concerns with the emergence of AI was, how do you know when a kid is handing in work that they didn't use AI in order to complete it?
Yeah, no, and that's actually the first question that always comes up. You know, when we talk about AI in classrooms, the first thing that comes up is cheating, you know, and how do you kind of manage that? I think sometimes we have to look at it, and it's a multi-pronged way of actually approaching the work. One is to start recognizing it. Secondly is to start actually asking kids to do things a little bit differently than they may have done in the past. So we try to look at the idea of the promise of AI, also knowing, though, that there's some things that, for like with any technology, people will use it not necessarily for the purposes that it should be intended to be used for, and how do we kind of address that. Just so you know, too, on November 10th, November 4th, Election Day, November 3rd, I guess, we're going to be, our PD for our teachers, which is a full-day PD, is going to be what we call kind of an ed camp style of PD, and it's all focused around AI. Teachers will be teaching teachers. So we have a lot of teachers over the last couple of years that have been doing a lot of work in this area, and we've developed some expertise in some of the lessons and the way that we do this. We're going to be having our teachers teach other teachers, and teachers will be signing up to go to different classes. They're putting in calls for presenters in the next week so that we can get this organized. But we want to make sure that we develop kind of a good understanding of what our staff already knows, but then also how they can help each other. And, you know, so I'm actually, I think, you know, this has been one of those things that's been a shining point for us. With that, though, there will be classes there that talk a little bit more about, you know, alternative ways of looking at when you think kids are cheating. And, you know, how do you kind of give them an assessment? I mean, you can always go back to paper and pencil. I mean, that's one thing that people have said. But why don't you use the AI in a way that makes sense? If they can use it, so that it can actually support it. And this is usually at the older grades that really you'd want to see that. Because we do kind of, like I said, at K-5, even in 6A, it's very contained on where they have access for us to be able to use AI. That doesn't stop them from doing that at home or in other places, which is why that training, you know, with parents is so important as well, too. So they can kind of understand what's going on and that kids can actually get on and be able to generate information via AI. And if it's not their own work, it's going to be an issue for us as a nation moving forward. I mean, I think one of the things that I think AI brings as a promise is it can augment the work that we do. But at a younger age and when kids are in school, there still needs to be that productive struggle of learning. Mm-hmm. And if they don't learn how to do that, they'll never be able to use AI as effectively as they could as an adult.
True.
And so that's what we're trying to actually bring about. But, you know, there's tools out there that people use as sniffers for AI, but it's almost like whack-a-mole. Basically, you know, as soon as you do that, there's another way that a student or somebody else is going to find a way around that. I think one of the key pieces is having kids, we've had teachers do this a bit too. They'll do things like, you know, actually have the kids just explain the, you know, the prompt that they put in. And if they can explain it, then they understand it, you know, when it's not there written. So I hope, and this is really a big hope, that what will end up happening over time is if teachers use AI effectively, it creates efficiencies and gives them resources they've never had before, which allows them to then spend less time planning and doing other types of tasks where they'll actually spend more time with the kids, which is what we need right now. So we really need more face-to-face instruction with students. And how do we build that back in? AI could be potentially one of those strategies to help us get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so using it as obviously a creative tool or even just an assistance tool for teachers, not getting away from it, but leaning into it when it's appropriate in instruction. And I look forward to certainly seeing how this progresses, not just for Norwalk, but I would imagine other districts are going to see this example and want to lean in. And maybe some of them already have. I'm sure a lot of them have. But I'm excited I got to connect with Norwalk, especially with this really, I think, exciting grant that has only exclusively gone to one of 10 school systems, Norwalk being one of them. This grant is only going to 10 across the country, and it's pretty cool that Norwalk, Connecticut was one of them. So, Ralph, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time, especially on a school day. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing what happens next.